Hi, Sarah, and welcome once again to Connect. Thanks for taking the time to be with us today. Prior to this call, I played a couple of songs to air, and the first one was Sing Her Heart Out, and the second one was Rain Dance. And while the subject of those two songs is really quite different, of course, to me they represent the essence of your work. That is, subjects listeners can really identify with. And I'm talking about human emotions, mostly from a female perspective, family, and songs about people on the land. So tell me, be honest, am I close to the mark? And is that what songwriting means to you?
Well, I think you're spot on. I think you chose two really significant songs in my life, one being about farming and rain. I love singing about rain. And the other one being about a mum and the challenges that I've faced just with trying to stay out there and be present, be on the road. And, you know, I've had that many comments over the years, where have you been? Yeah. I'm like, oh, I've been trying to do both. And yeah, that's what Sing Her Heart Out is all about.
Well, you've had four children along the way too, so obviously you've taken a bit of a gap there somewhere.
I think I just take time around. I haven't actually taken time off. What I do is I just do bits here and there, which can be a little bit random and hard, but I don't want to give up altogether. I just want to keep my toe in the door. And now it's getting a lot easier. The boys are getting older and I just get a bit more time now to get out and do a little bit more touring than what I've done.
Well, that's great, because we'd hoped to think you were going to give it up. So, and really, I think I digress a little bit here, but I think you're getting stronger all the time.
Thank you. I would have to agree with, I think vocally, I just keep getting better. I mean, the more you do it, the better you get. You know, you get to master your skills. I think I've gained a lot of confidence too over the years. I used to lack a lot of confidence with my vocals, and now I guess I just go for it now sometimes and have a lot of fun instead of worrying. And that helps out on stage too.
Well, and it comes across. I'll talk about that in a minute, but let's go back for a minute to your musical career. Got serious in 2000 when your first album came out, Chasing Buffalo, and it was an immediate success for you as a singer and a songwriter. And I imagine that you would have been absolutely elated at the time, but when the dust settled, how daunted were you about matching that achievement the next time round with the second album? And, of course, that was Beautiful Circle. But were you sort of very apprehensive? I mean, you'd be elated, but was there a bit of a low then, thinking, God, how am I going to manage to do that again?
No, not particular. What's that word?
Not really would do.
Not really in particular to that.
Good. Yeah, good. Well done.
See, you can tell I'm a songwriter. You know, I didn't do very well at English and probably failed, if you want to know the truth. But it's funny. That's why I say to kids, don't let education and that stop you from doing what you love.
Hang on. You were a school teacher.
Yeah, yep, and I still struggle with words. I just avoid them in class, like I should have avoided that one in particular here today. But
here you are, kids, read amongst yourselves for a while.
Not so much that album. Down the track, yes, but that album I was still excited and thought, let's do this again. And
I'm then infallible.
I was rushing out, trying to find songs. And, you know, I had my family, they were out at Warren, near Dubbo, New South Wales farmers, so I was able to run out there and get some ideas from them, and still sort of living up in
the clouds, still
fresh memories of the territory and that way of life. So the second album was quite easy, and right back then it was just everything was easier compared to today.
So we're now 26 years down the track. And having seen you in concert last year at the Country Hall out there in St Andrews, those same elements that were evident on that first album were still there. And that, to me, told me a few things about you. And I would sort of say you are authentic. You're certainly down to earth. You're a storyteller. And you were on that particular occasion, you had a minimum accompaniment. You had yourself playing guitar and a lady called Mel, who was also playing guitar. So... And it was And it was a small venue and a small crowd, quite frankly, and I'd probably guess maybe 100, 150 people. But I'm told that you particularly enjoy working those smaller venues. Is that the case?
Well, there's something really special about it. I mean, sure, gee, I wish I could, you know, double that or triple that or even more. But the bigger you get, I think the less connection you have with a crowd. There's still fabulous gigs when you play the bigger crowds and the festivals, but there is something special about seeing everybody in the crowd and making that connection. You can see right up the back where the people, you know, you're having that that wonderful moment that happens when you exchange music with each other. And then after the show, it's easy. You can get around to everyone and talk to everyone. I come out and, you know, sign CDs afterwards and actually get to know people. It is lovely. Yeah.
And I imagine there'd be familiar faces. Someone you saw last year at a gig is there again?
Look, my crowds are fans that have been there over the years. When I first started out, there was a lot of curiosity, you know, and I was young and people were coming along to, I guess, a younger crowd too and having a lot of fun, whereas now over the years, I've still got those fans turning up and not necessarily people who, you know, are curious. So the people that turn up are true fans of my music, so I just give them everything I've got. I'm so appreciative that they've taken time out and they've, you know, dug into their wallets to buy a little ticket for my show. That means the world to me.
Well, and I must say, it was evident to me at St Andrews that afternoon, and it was a cold Sunday afternoon, and but, you know, the crowd was, you know, they were just hanging on your every word and your every song, and they were appreciative of the old songs and the old favourites, and of course a few new ones you broke in, and you could just tell they were eating out of your hand, if I may say so, and that to me is truly the mark of a great performer and an entertainer, because you're entertaining a crowd and they're really enjoying what you're doing.
Oh, thank you. Well, yeah, I did sing some oldies. I sang quite a few new ones there at that show. Look, that can be always a little bit of a risk, but it's being a selfish artist and going, but I want you to hear this and I want you to hear this new one off the album. And
but surely that's part of a Sara story. I mean, yes, all the stuff they've got at home, they've got those records. It's the new song. Now, what's she singing now? What's all this about? You know, it's... You know, I think it's. I mean, sure, if you go there and just do a new album and that's all you do, well, then I think you fail as well. But if you're doing a mixture, which you did, which is great, because you've got to promote your new stuff, and, you know, as we said, people are very familiar with the old ones.
Yeah, that's right. You've got it's a fine balance of getting a set list right. You know, it takes me a little while. And especially who's helping you out up on stage. As you mentioned, I had Melanie Gray from Darwin. So we stuck to a little bit of the softer side of songs too, you know. Not saying that girls are soft, but just things that worked better with vocals for the blend, that sort of vibe. And whereas when I take my brother, we swap over to duets and a bit more of a regional vibe and stuff. So yeah, that all matters with your set list.
Yeah, look, as I said before, I think you're primarily a storyteller, apart from an entertainer, of course. But for those who were listening last week, they might remember, or they might have missed, I was talking to Shane Nicholson, who I interviewed, of course, and he's a great Australian singer-songwriter, and of course Shane Howard is around as well, and you're teaming up with both of those people in a new series of concerts coming up, For the Sake of a Song. Perhaps you could just recap, for those who missed Shane's interview last week, which was very good, by the way, what For the Sake of a Song is all about. It's coming to Victoria in May, folks. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, look, I am so humbled to be asked to be a part of this. So with Shane and Shane, Shane Nicholson, he's a fabulous songwriter. And then Shane Howard, legend who I grew up with listening to his songs.
Yeah, I mean,
so yeah, it's very exciting for me. Yeah, and look, basically it's all in the title. It's for the sake of the song. We really just want to showcase a number of our own songs that, look, I could go through so many of my songs that I go, yeah, I could pick, you know, 50 or more that I'd love to tell everyone about. But I just wrote down, you know, bang, straight on paper, the first sort of songs that came to my head that, for whatever reason, that I thought were important. And I've just stuck to that list. And I guess in their own way, they all have a reason and a place in time too, these songs. Mm-hmm. So we'll be just talking about that. I'll sing them, tell everyone how the song came about, why it's important, and I guess between the three of us, just show you that the magic of songwriting.
I guess
the bigger picture. Sorry, Nigel. Yeah, the bigger picture.
Sorry, I think that's a fabulous idea because, I mean, we all hear songs and, I mean, sometimes you're listening to the melody and sometimes you think, I wonder what that's all really about, you know? I mean, you know, and it's nice to have someone explain it and say, well, I was, you know, feeling a bit down on this occasion or whatever, or what, I'm in love with Darwin and whatever, and this song's all about Darwin and how I feel about it or something, whatever that is. It's fabulous to hear someone say that and says, oh, now I understand what this is all about, you know.
Well, songs can take, like, I guess if you're not a songwriter and you probably think we just go into our office and sit down at our desk and write it and there it is. That can be the case in some instances. Other times it can take weeks. Other times you can be crying about something and moved emotionally. Other times it can be locked in your brain and kept there and you think, I've got that line. Someone said that line to me the other day and I'll come back months later and work on it. So many different ways of writing songs, and that's what this show sort of represents. Yeah.
I think that, as I said, I think that's fabulous and I think it's a great opportunity for people to listen to three great songwriters, and they're all basically storytellers, and listen to how these things come about. As you said, sometimes easy, sometimes very hard. But, you know, I think it's a fabulous opportunity. So we're talking, folks, about a show called For the Sake of a Song. And that's an excellent opportunity, I think, to appreciate three of our best singer-songwriters actually demonstrating their craft in fairly small venues in most cases in Victoria. And it's happening in May. And I imagine this project, I think you've already covered it, really, was when you were offered the job, I guess you probably jumped at it. Would that be right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. It was a no-brainer for me. And we've already got together and run the songs. And I just get caught up. I'm listening to their songs. And then we get through that. And then it's my turn. And I'm like, oh, that's right. I'm part of this show. I just want to sit out in the crowd and listen to Shane and Shane. And so it's just, I'm so happy and that I'm up there on the stage with these guys. It's really beautiful. It's something you don't want to miss. And it's a one-off. So, yeah, if you love your storytelling and love your legends like Shane Howard and then Shane Nicholson, who's just...
I think there's a third legend in there somewhere. but you'll have to go along, folks, and find out who it is.
On the leftovers. No, I don't mean that at all. I just... Like I said, I was so humbled to be a part of this first show. I hope it turns into something bigger and better down the track, as in this thing keeps going and, you know, it becomes something that everybody hears about and can't wait to see. You know, we'll start the show off and then maybe down the track there'll be a new lineup of songwriters. So that's the goal. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you something else now. Your most recent album came out last year, Worth Your Love. And moving forward, here's the big question, of course, have you got any more plans for recording and touring at the moment after we do For the Sake of a Song?
Nigel, my brain is like a roller coaster. It's up, down, up 1 minute. Oh, I'm back. I'm writing a new album. Next minute. Oh, this is hard work. And then the next day I'm back again. You know, there's been a few times where I think I should just hang my boots up, it gets too hard. But when you write for love and for therapy and for relief and that joy it just brings you. There's no way I'll ever give up songwriting. So the trouble is, I write all these songs as if I'm not going to put out another album. I think I'm going to theme the next album a little differently. I'm not sure. In saying that, I'm not sure. But I think I want to go back to my original roots, which is back to the land and just get some of those bush songs. Write some stories yet that haven't been told about the bush. Go back there. That's what I've got ticking in my brain, so who knows what will happen.
The next Banjo Patterson to music.
Well, gee, that'd be nice. If I could write, don't you love that when someone writes a song, whether it's a poem like Banjo or Henry or whoever, or a song you hear and you go, oh, wish I had written that.
Yeah, but it also becomes a soundtrack of your life as well. The listener, you know, if it's that sort of song about a town you used to live in or just a place you love, for example, you know, you adopt that song, even though, of course, someone else sung it and wrote it, you know. But
that's right. It just spurs you on to go, well, righto, get on with it.
But still,
you write your own stuff and you write stuff just as good, or find your own way to express that. And it just keeps you going when you hear great songs. That's what it does for me. I shouldn't say I wished I wrote it. Yeah, I am envious of how they can do that, but it just spurs me on to say, well, come on, you get in there and you give it a red hot go.
Yeah, but the reverse of that is someone listening to your song and saying, I wish I wrote Under Darwin Skies or whatever it is, you know. There's people doing that to you. And I mean, talking to Shane Nicholson last week, who will be with you, of course, he was really overjoyed to be working with you. So, you know, it's mutual, I guess.
Yeah, it is. It's like I said, it is a really special lineup. It's just where you go, all right, well, who's the first three people? And out of that big pot of songwriters, we're the first three. So it is, I've got a big grin on my face, I can tell you.
That's excellent. Sarah, I'm going to let you go now because I know you've got things to do today and I know you've taken the time out to speak to me today. So I really appreciate that. And I'm looking forward to seeing you coming up in May for the sake of a song, co-starring Shane Nicholson and Shane Howard. And I'll give them the Victorian dates after I leave you because you know where you're going and other people will find out where to find you very shortly. Sarah, thank you for your time today. Enjoy your day and I hope it's a great tour coming up. I'm sure it will be. Thanks for that.
Oh, thank you, Nigel. Enjoy your day too and thanks again for your support. Means the world.
Thanks, Sarah. Take care. All the very best. Bye for now.
See you later.